brought to you by Penguin.
Man with a Van, written and read by Drew Pritchard. Introduction. About a year ago, I was asked to write a book about who I am and how I got into the world of antiques, about some of the more memorable experiences, and about the TV shows. I've been making salvage hunters on quest for the last 10 years, and it's complemented by another 2 series, one where I restore the items I buy, and a 3rd show about my love of classic cars. Initially, I wasn't sure, but in the end, my desire to share this incredible business with as many people as possible outweighed any of my sort of personal reservations. This is a business like no other. No 2 days are the same. It's exciting, diverse, and gives an insight not just when or how items of great beauty or value were made, but the lives of the people who made them. It's about specific artistic movements that echo periods in history when art and design mirrored what was going on in the world of politics, fashion and culture. That's the fascination. What I call the soul of the job, of the trade. And I hope I can pass on some of what I've learned and something of my passion. The passion began when I was about 8 years old, living in a small village called Glanconway in North Wales. I'm 50 now, but nothing has changed. I feel exactly the same as I did when my eyes first opened to the possibilities offered to me by old, discarded junk that nobody wanted. I refer to these items now as decorative salvage, a phrase I think I coined, though I can't be certain. I'm on a never-ending search for stock. This is a business that requires a revolving door when it comes to inventory and not just for my Conway showroom, but for my website, with a customer base that spans the globe. The items I find on TV are bought with my own money. Nothing is done for the show, and if the TV cameras weren't rolling, there would be no difference in the way I deal with the vendors. I'm always on the lookout for innovative stock, and much of what we sell goes abroad. If I took my foot off the throttle for just a few days, things would quickly go pear-shaped. It's a constant challenge to find quality antiques, but without them, there's no turnover and there's no profit. I never buy anything I wouldn't be happy to have in my own house, and often that's where a piece resides until somebody wants to buy it. All my furniture is for sale, whether it's in the shop or at my home. Just the other day I got back from a trip looking forward to an evening on the sofa with Netflix, only to find out there was no sofa. Hunting down decorative salvage is a way of life I revere, and I encourage as many of you to get involved as possible. Since we've been doing the TV series, I've come across more and more people dabbling in buying and selling, and that's why I agreed to do the show in the first place. As far as I'm concerned, the greater the interest, the better the trade will be, and I'm forever bumping into people looking for advice. To me, it's simple. If you have the passion, follow it. Don't copy anyone, least of all me. Create your own idea of what you want to achieve and get on with it. Don't be afraid of the setbacks. I spoke to a couple at a fair the other day who were just getting started, and they were worried that 1 week they'd sold stacks of stuff and the next absolutely nothing. Welcome to the antiques business. It takes years to learn, and as you'll see, you have to roll with the punches. Chapter 1. Humble Beginnings. By the time 55 alloy storage bins had been loaded into the van, we were completely knackered. We weren't finished yet, though. Before we left the Bradford linen mill, we added a couple of massive wicker baskets and an industrial trolley. We were satisfied it had been a really good call, which is how the antiques trade refers to it when we're asked to show up and look at potential inventory. In one of those places you rarely see. There aren't many linen mills left, but this one is thriving with over 500,000 metres of fabric sold every year, and I'd picked up some quality industrial furniture. Back in the van, I checked my phone while T pulled out alongside a lorry that was hazing us with spray that might as well have come from a hosepipe. My long-term sidekick. I've known T since I was a boy in North Wales, and he's an integral part of the TV show. It had been pissing with rain all week, but that was nothing new. After so many years on the road, we're used to torrential downpours and the motorway flooding. "It's been a decent day, T," I said. "Van's full." He was concentrating on the traffic.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?